that. How dark do you have to work? I mean, you know, at the very last minute, how long does it take to make a ball dress?
No, usually we discuss it about a month in advance, and then fittings take place at the very last minute. Mm. For instance, Princess Alexandra, in fact, fitted her dress for the ball on the morning of the ball.
So you had to do all the alterations on the same day?
We were still working on them. The girls in the workroom have been fantastic, and they were literally working on them at the very last minute.
Meanwhile, just to recap, it's a beautiful sunny day outside, and I'm told there are still one or two spaces where we might just be able to get a glimpse of the procession. The procession, of course, as you know, goes from Buckingham Palace along the Mall, past Horse Guards Parade, then comes rocketing down Whitehall and round to Westminster Abbey. And I'm told the good spaces that are left are still round about the Whitehall area, so if you're punting on your way to see the procession, I should head for Whitehall if I were you. But as I say, it's a beautiful sunny day outside. Lorry West couldn't have arranged better weather, and the guests now more or less completely filled up the Abbey, I believe. So let's go over to Godfrey Talbot now for his report as he sets the scene.
Well, I think you will have no doubt now that the organ is indeed playing. Now, the main musicians have not yet arrived, the trumpeters, the choir, but at the organ is not yet Mr. Douglas Guest, the master of choristers and director of music here, but the Harry Gabb, who is the master of the choristers and director of music of the Chapel Royal of St. James's, he's got the organ blowing full blast. In fact, I'm very much aware of it myself. I can certainly not hear the sound of my own voice, because up in my perch here, I'm very near the outgiving end of the organ pipes. And a tremendous noise it is too. But meanwhile here, of course, we really are, apart from waiting the arrival of the choir and those guardians of the Queen, the ceremonial gentlemen at arms, we have pretty well everybody here. Just one or two guests are still arriving, but for the most part, they are here. Now, most of them walked on the white covering on the ceremonial carpet, but now it has been unveiled. A number of men came and very efficiently rolled up the whole 100 yards of this wonderful blue carpet which stretches from the west door right through the under the organ loft towards the altar, and now it's revealed in all its well-swept glory. The latecomers are having the privilege of walking along it. Those who come in from the west door, they skirt the tomb of the unknown warrior there, girded around with the poppies of remembrance. They skirt around the green marble slab, which is the memorial to that greatest Englishman of our time, Winston Churchill. They come underneath the new canopy by the west door, underneath an enormous battery of press photographers. There are scores and scores of television cameramen, press photographers here, and 200 pressmen altogether. As they've been sitting here, underneath the soaring arches, underneath the lights, underneath the vaulted roof, they have been listening to a program of music played by Mr. Gabb, and they are already watching through their television monitors beneath the pillars of the Abbey what is happening up here at the forward or the eastern end of the church, because as yet the main participants have not arrived. Although as I look down now to my right, beyond the crossing and to the sanctuary itself, I see that most of the Phillips family have come. The royal family will be on the south side of the sanctuary and the Phillips family on the north side. Most of the Phillipses are there. Not yet Mr. and Mrs. Phillips, the parents of the bridegroom, but already down there I can see Miss Sarah Phillips, age 22, the sister of the groom. Miss Sarah Phillips, who is in pink, she's now turning around to talk to someone, one of her relatives. Who is it just behind her? Ah, yes, she's talking to Mrs. Geoffrey Teox, who is the wife of the Bishop of Maidstone, cousin of the Queen, cousin of, indeed, the Phillipses' parents. So most of the Phillips family are there already, but naturally enough, the royal family have still to come. Now, because when the procession comes in, we shall be very much taken up with the music, and all eyes will be upon the Queen, all eyes upon the bride. Let me just tell you what is going to happen, so that during the ceremony itself and during the service, when the trumpets have sounded and the great processions flow through this enormous abbey, you'll know just what is happening. Now, the Queen should come about 20 past 11, and a procession will be formed up when they've all got out of their carriages, and the Queen will come in procession preceded by gentlemen ushers, and then by the Ogilvies, Princess Alexandra, she will be wearing green, and Angus Ogilvie, her husband, and then their small children, Marina Ogilvie and James Ogilvie, walking behind. There are half a dozen of the small royal children in these processions. Now, there might have been walking with them Princess Alice, Countess of Athlone. Now, in fact, she is 90 years old, and she is taking her seat, in fact, in the royal row of chairs, because she is waiting for the procession to come. Princess Alice, quite another generation. Princess Alice is a granddaughter of Queen Victoria. Now, the Phillipses are coming in, I think, but just out of my sight at the moment. But just to go on with this procession, after the small Ogilvies will come Prince Michael of Kent, military uniform, and then the Duchess of Kent and the Duke of Kent, and behind them their small children, Lady Helen Windsor and the Earl of St. Andrews, their aged 9 and 11. There are half a dozen small royals here, average age 10, who will make, I think, a very pretty picture. Then will come Prince and Princess Richard of Gloucester, and the Duchess of Gloucester wearing aquamarine, and then Lord Snowdon and Princess Margaret, and between them young Lord Lindley, Viscount Lindley, aged 12. And after them will come Prince Andrew, having a little holiday from Gordonstoun, Prince Andrew, aged 13, and the Prince of Wales. I'm rather sorry for the Prince of Wales today. Now, it's his great day, it's his 25th birthday, but you know, it's been entirely obscured by his sister's nuptials. But at any rate, he will be the centre of all eyes when he comes in wearing naval uniform. He's a lieutenant of the Royal Navy. And then will come the Queen Mother, private secretary to the Queen, and so on. Now, Her Majesty the Queen will be coming in that very splendid procession, which will come through the nave and choir whilst a hymn is sung and everyone stands. And incidentally, everyone in the congregation is facing towards this blue carpet. That is to say, the seats in the nave are not facing east as they ordinarily do. They're all facing inwards, either side of the central aisle and the blue carpet. They're facing inwards so everybody can see the processions, which will come through the nave, into the choir, and to the sanctuary. Now, after the royal procession, there will come the procession of the Archbishop of Canterbury and the visiting clergy. And they will include, that will include, incidentally, we should probably have no chance to mention him, because he's not actually taking part in the service as speaker, the moderator of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland. And the other clergy will include the Dean of Windsor, and of course, as I said earlier, the Bishop of Maidstone and the Reverend Andrew Elphinstone. And then, and I think it'll be something like, if we keep to time, something like 11:29, there having been a great flourish of trumpets for the Queen, there will come a shorter but equally splendid flourish of trumpets to greet the bride. Now, when that sounds, you can picture the trumpeters, not the blue-suited Kneller Hall Royal Military School of Music chaps, but you could picture the trumpeters of the bridegroom's regiment, the Queen's Dragoon Guard, who are here assembled already in their new ceremonial scarlet. Very splendid chaps indeed. Just listen to the organ for a second or two, just to get the flavor of this music. during the pause in the organ music, let me just say that the Phillips family on the northern side of the sanctuary are now complete, because to the front row have come Mr. and Mrs. Phillips, he in grey morning suit, and she in brilliant green silk with a green hat with a white ostrich plume around it. She talking to her daughter at the moment. Her mother, the grandmother, Mrs. Evelyn Teox, is there. In fact, it's a very jolly informal scene. You know, for all it's Westminster Abbey, it might be a little country church. You see, they're all sitting there, very happy, very informal, smiling, talking away, chatting to each other, pointing out features of the Abbey, pointing out other people in this distinguished congregation, and everybody's here now. Captains of arms, the field marshals, the officers of state, the cabinet, the opposition, the liberal leader, the civic heads. Everybody now is waiting for the great moment, which will come very shortly. But there is still, for all the glitter of uniforms, for all the brilliance of the hats, and for all the rather overpowering grandeur of the Abbey, because we're all sitting underneath these forbidding arches, these pillars, and the statuary of the great and famous, it is still essentially, as I was saying earlier, it is still an informal, rather nice family scene. If I may say so, everybody looks as though they are enjoying it and quite determined and full of the knowledge that they're going to enjoy the coming of the royal processions, which soon will come. But for the moment, I'm quite sure that the scene will be switching from here to Buckingham Palace, because at any moment now, the great procession, the first of them, should be leaving the Queen's house. And so I'm going to hand you over now to Paul Callan in front of Buckingham Palace. Moment, he's probably preoccupied in checking the immediate arrival of the coach into his sight. So can we go over to Gillian Strickland? Would you come in, Gillian? Now, I think at the moment they're both preoccupied with the immediate scene below them and certain technical difficulties. Meanwhile, here in the Abbey, we are still awaiting the arrival of the famous people. Now, as I look towards the west door, I can see flashes of gold and red, scarlet, military blue, as those who will first of all greet today's VIPs are lined up by the west door. For those of you who know Westminster Abbey, the West Door is very, very different today. The West Door is hung with a blue awning, and as we look there, we know that the palace is ready, so I'm going over to Paul Callan in front of Buckingham Palace.
Hello, Paul Callan. I think we have your sound coming over. Are you there? Can you fill us in on the scene outside? Ah, there you are.
Yes, David. I'm standing here now. I'm glad the Gremlins are indeed at work. Well, a few cars have left the scene here at Buckingham Palace, but so far there is no sign of any carriage procession. All I can see emerging from the Grand Arch here at Buckingham Palace is an officer of the Household Brigade. But they now seem to, something seems to be happening, because an order is being issued and the Coldstream Guards have been called to attention. And I think the Royal Salute is about to be issued here. And there's a general feeling of anticipation that certainly something is going to happen. And I think we should expect to see the first of the royal carriages coming out from underneath the Grand Arch. And now the household cavalry are moving out slowly through these very historic gates here at Buckingham Palace. The first two riders, and they're wheeling round in a very symmetrical, beautiful cartwheel, the plumes on their helmets dancing up and down like rather gentle puppets. And there, so you can hear the sound of the clopping of the hooves. But these members, these men of the Household Brigade and the Household Cavalry, the Sovereign's Escort, probably one of the most historic and very moving sights, as well as being very, very historic group of men. They are, in fact, professional soldiers. The horses that they ride are mainly Irish. They have to be black, except for eight greys, which are which make up the trumpeters. There are only three trumpeters on duty for this wedding, and there's one with an escort and one with the Queen's lifeguard. I'm informed that it takes each trooper a minimum of 2 hours to prepare himself to go out on parade every morning. And in fact, I know that most of the troopers this morning, as they're now just trotting past me here on the memorial, were up at something like 3 or even 4 o'clock in the morning to prepare for this day. And the very sight, the sun is shining magnificently now and absolutely dancing and glancing off the burnished gold of their helmets and the bright, highly polished quality of their boots. It is an immense sense of duty and beauty that they... Now here is the royal salute as the Queen's carriage comes out from underneath the arch.